Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Greg here. This is what I'm looking for in a protein powder. I want a clean, easy to digest, light, satiating, healthy protein powder that helps me build lean muscle, reduce my cravings, support gut health, keep my mood and energy level high, improve my recovery, and is easy to digest. Human Improvement Protein is that product. And I have tried a lot of protein powders over the years, and I have landed on Human Improvement because of the clean ingredients and the way I feel and the way I perform. It is organic cricket powder, pumpkin protein powder, organic brown rice powder. There's some organic fermented yellow pea protein powder, all natural vanilla flavors, dairy-free coconut, flaxseed, little pinch of pink Himalayan sea salt, some monk fruit extract, some MCT powder. It is a new sustainable way to protein. Check it out, buyhigh.co. Use promo code MIDLIFEMALE to save 15%. All right, here we go. Greg Scheinman with you. It is another week. It is another episode of the Midlife Mail podcast. You know how we do it here each and every week. I bring on an exceptional midlife male. Mission is to help men maximize middle age. We are going to live healthier, happier, wealthier, stronger, longer, and we are going to have more fun. And this week, I've got the amazing Chris Salgado on here. Chris spent his entire career in skincare and grooming. He has gained incredible insights into men's grooming needs and has put together the link between how a man looks and the confidence he feels. So important, and we dig deep into that. His background, he did 18 years with Kiehl's, former president of Kiehl's. And he also worked his way up in beauty through Chanel, Bobby Brown. I may botch this a little bit. Shu Uemura? Maybe? Okay. Giorgio Armani, beauty. And over the course of 30 years of beauty industry experience, he's researched, launched, and tried a ton. And most of these men's products felt very much the same. I agree with that. There were fragrances, you don't know what to buy, you know, they're sticky, they're gooey, there's different price points. You really don't know how to cut through the clutter. You really don't know how to cut through the noise on any of this. And what I love about what Chris is doing with Atwater, let me back up for a second. I found Atwater through Instagram. These ads start popping up based upon your interests, and this seemed to be something that I was interested in. So the wonderful people at Meta got it right, and they started hitting me with these ads for Atwater. And I dug in. I took a look at the products, took a look at the design, found Chris's personal Instagram, started checking him out. Guy's super cool. He lifts weights. He's got a big beard. He takes motorcycle trips. He's doing really cool stuff with Ducati. We get into all of that. And I'm like, I like this. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to do it. And I ordered my first samples, my first trial of Atwater, and I really, really love the products. I love the bar soap. I love the eye cream. I love the moisturizers on it. And Chris was cool enough to say, I will come on the show and chat it up with us. So I got a lot of value out of this. I know you guys will get a ton of value out of this. I think Chris is one of those guys. In a short period of time, I found him to be very authentic, very credible, very relatable, and also very aspirational. So I think he's going to do great things with Atwater. They are just starting out right now. You can get them online. He talks a little bit about his deals with Saks and with Neiman's, you know, and we're only about 7-8 months into this. So I'm sure we're also going to have him back when this is a gigantic men's skincare brand, because the guy knows what he's doing. And it's super cool. So here we go. Chris Salgado, Midlife Male Podcast. Chris Salgado is with me. Chris is the founder and CEO of Atwater Skincare. Welcome.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's awesome to have. I also want to point out that you may get a point to point out that you are a cat dad. So you're a cat guy.
Yeah. And currently I'm a dog dad because I'm staying with a friend in Dallas who has an Australian Kelpie that I have completely fallen in love with. And she's just staring at me right now from the corner saying, okay, get this over with because it's time for my walk.
Understood. Yeah, I've got two dogs. That is the first thing I do every morning is open up that back door, get outside with them, let them go do their thing. And since you're in Texas right now, I don't know if it's cool. We woke up, it was a pretty cool day today. You know, I'm in Houston, beautiful, cool day, which energizes them. So we'll get off this and I got to go walk a few miles.
I'll be with you in spirit.
There you go. I'd like to start there though, because you just said, hey, I'm in Dallas today. I'm always curious about, you know, schedules, routines, how people run their days, especially successful execs balancing, you know, a lot of different stuff. What are you doing in Dallas and kind of what does that do to your routine?
Well, I'm so used to being on the road because in my beauty career, I've been at it for 40 years. And my most previous role was at L'Oreal for 18 years, of which I was Kiehl's president for 12 years. And so I've always been sort of like my nature because I grew up in my industry at the very, very ground level. So I wasn't somebody who went to a very fancy school. In fact, I didn't even get my college degree until I got into my 50s. And so I had to go the stonier route. So I'm used to learning as I go. I'm used to having a very complex calendar, which, you know, if you work and you're trying to date, or if you're married, or if you're trying to go to the gym, or if you have a dog, or maybe two cats, you need to have organization in your life. So when I get on the road, I try to be as, you know, I figure out where my gym is. You know, I'm an Equinox guy. So Equinox is right here. I stake out the local healthy places for me to get my food so I'm not fumbling around. And then from there, I don't ever try to be, I'm not a slave to my calendar, but I do make sure that things are organized for me because if I don't, I just won't get to it. And I do everything, Greg, on my phone. Like for my old age, like I am somebody who doesn't, I still got the notebook. No, that's not me. Like, it's like, forget it. Like, and even when I'm sitting with the kids who like, you know, have the, I'm like, knock yourself out. I have to do it all on my phone because it's the best. It's just the most modern way to do it. Do I miss having a notebook? No. Like, this makes my life better. So in adding all that together, it allows me to, I think, remain effective on the road, still have time for myself along the way, see friends, whatever I'm up to, and also be able to work remotely, which is always really has been such a, I've always been able to kind of do that in my life for many, being in the field and then even being in the office as I traveled. But I like that part of my life's journey and I always interweave it into my work.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about where your life's journey started. You know, you've been in beauty and in skincare for many years at this point. Talk to us a little bit about how you got your start. Is this what you wanted to do? Or I'm always fascinated by how people kind of get, you know, where they are. Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in the 80s, right? The early 80s. And we're from California. My family's from California. And growing up in Southern California, you know, I came screaming out of high school. Like, you know, high school, like for so many people, just wasn't really kind for me. I was 6'3" and 170 pounds. I'm 230 pounds now and still 6'3", thank God. I just, Mike, there was a lot of things on my mind. First of all, I was one of many, like, who had a lot of acne. You know, we hear these stories, especially, oh, I had acne. Okay. We hear that a lot. That was me too. But the truth of it is, too, Greg, is that I also wanted to look good. Like, that was a priority for me. And I just kind of, back at that early age, 17-year-old Chris, was like, okay, clear up your acne, because it's going to look good. And I just felt like I wanted to work. I wanted a good job. I wasn't sure what that was going to look like. I wanted to date. And I wanted to feel good about myself. So feeling good about myself meant get a good haircut, comb those brows, you know, clean your face, like show up. And so it was part of the acne, I feel like, is a part of the ultimate goal of looking good. And I always say to people, you know, if that's a priority for you, then you need to work at that. That's not going to just happen overnight. Oh, I'm genetic. Sure, that adds to it. But you want to make sure that if that's a priority, you got to do the work. So I then decided I was going to college. And I wanted to get a part-time job. And I went over to the local department store, and I wanted to work in men's clothing. They had no openings. They only had cosmetics. And boom, I'm like, I have no like cosmetic experience, but I wasn't afraid, you know? And this was, again, at a time where like you didn't see men or think about men in this arena. And in fact, I got a lot of, you know, problematic clients who just didn't want me to wait on them because I was a man, and where's the woman? I'll wait. And it's, you know, and it just sort of like let it roll off my back. And so I started working at Bullock's and Thousand Oaks, and that would start my journey. And as I got into cosmetics, I found it to be so fascinating. First of all, it was the thing that cleared up my skin. All of these wonderful women who could have been my mother were just giving me advice, recommending probably far too many problems for a person of my age, but it was a fascinating journey and interesting and creative. And so I just really fell in love with it. And from there, that would start my personal journey and how I then moved up into cosmetics. Mm.
You know, having that passion and finding it fascinating and interesting and creative and all that, that's certainly one side of it. You know? But you also became the president. You worked your way to become the president of Kiehl's, you know?
Yeah.
We're all and familiar with that as a huge brand. Talk a little bit about how you also kind of, you brought this personal passion, but you obviously developed this professional expertise, you know, right, along the way. And being a business person, you know, being in a corporate environment and actual roles, how did you kind of learn and string that together? Were there mentors? Did you end up and I found this in some of my experiences, sometimes as you move up, whether it's the corporate ladder or companies and brands and everything get bigger, you can sometimes find yourself doing a lot more of the stuff you don't necessarily want to do, you know, versus all the stuff that got you excited and passionate, you know, to begin with.
So I have a really interesting pathway that you sort of hear about, but you're like, how the hell did they get that done? So I started as a makeup artist. So I was with Chanel. I worked 5 years behind the counter, selling products, beating those faces. It was one of the best experiences of my life. And I'll tell you why. As we learned later on in life, as marketers, we were always constantly putting the product in the center of the chart and figuring out, how do we sell this product? When when the process always should have been about putting the customer in the center of the chart and how do you serve him or her? And so having that foundational experience, it's kind of like I always think of Nordstrom's and how, I don't know if they still do it, but back in the day, if you wanted to get promoted at Nordstrom's, you had to start on the floor. Like there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there's something about that experience that just sharpens you so much and cannot be sort of underscored enough. So from there, I went to 2 junior levels at Chanel. I made the leap to go corporate. I became an account coordinator. So I'm setting up events and hiring staff. I became an account executive. My very first year, I was account executive of the year in 1994 for Chanel, won a trip. And then I just realized in my career that I loved Chanel, still do, But I was watching the makeup artist category boom. MAC had hit the had hit it and was doing incredible business. You were seeing brands like Laura Mercier and Bobbi Brown. And so I just kind of, funny enough, I somebody had asked me, you know, would you ever leave Chanel? And I said, I would leave Chanel to be a regional at Bobbi Brown. No joke. 2 weeks later, there's a message on my machine. That's how long ago it was, asking me if I wanted to make this leap. So I did that. It was a regional for 3 years. And then here came the big leap. I moved to New York. Bobbi Brown moved me to take on a larger role. I got recruited again. So always recruited. I got recruited to L'Oreal. They had just acquired Kiehl's and they asked me to come on as vice president of sales. And this was a quantum leap. I can tell you every job I've taken, I've never been fully prepared for. It was like, okay, Salgado, put on your big boots because you're going to have to get in there and swim. And remember what I said, I did not finish my, I always started in my business degree, but I didn't finish it till my 50s. So get the job done, but you have to have mentors. You have to pay attention. You have to lift a little bit heavier, but you can still get there as well. So I think that I'm a perfect example of that. And so when I got to L'Oreal and just my trajectory, so I was came on as president. 2 years later, I became senior vice president of Kiehl's and Shuomura, a Japanese brand. And 4 years later, I became president of Kiehl's. So that trajectory, I mean, of Shuomura. So that trajectory was really like you come in, you're a marketing manager, then a coordinator, then, direct. I mean, you're in supply chain, then you're in ops, then I didn't do any of that. I kind of went boom, boom, and boom. So by 2006, I had been brought back over to Kiehl's as president of Kiehl's, Shuomura, and Armani Beauty. And I would stay president of Kiehl's until 2018. So I became president of Kiehl's at 38. And all of these roles were hard. Made a lot of mistakes, but thank God I got a lot of things right. But it was never a cakewalk. You know, it may look like it from the outside, but it was especially working at a company like L'Oreal, which is the biggest cosmetic giant in the world. The expectation levels are high, and that's kind of how I operate. And so that trajectory was one that I couldn't have dreamed of anything more like that. I got to work on brands that I found so inspiring and so aspirational. And L'Oreal allowed me the opportunity to really be not only function as a really high performing operational president, but that I could also take my creativity and push on that and do things that were exceptional and unique for a beauty brand, which is ultimately what Kiehl's was, but was perceived as so much more than that.
We're talking Bubs Naturals, sustainably sourced ingredients with controlled consistency where the products are rooted. Bubs collagen and MCT oil powder are designed to help you feel amazing and live a fuller life through a relentless hunt for the best collagen and coconuts for you and the environment. We are talking simplicity meets self-improvement, and Bubs' commitment to excellence begins long before the products are going to land at your doorstep. You know how I know this? I know this because I'm using Bubs' products every morning myself. Their collagen protein comes from grass-fed pasture-raised cattle in Brazil. The MCT oil powder is derived from 100% sustainably sourced coconuts. Their MCT oil powder is plant-based and vegan. The entire product offering is free of gluten, soy, nuts, and corn. And these guys have the highest, most rigorous, and tightest standards, not only for themselves, but to their farmers, their manufacturers, and maintaining a high supply chain benchmark. They're keto approved, they're paleo approved, they're Whole30 approved, they're NSF certified sport approved. It's simple, and you know I love simple. Choose Bubs Naturals for their coffee, their collagen peptides, and their MCT oil powder. Go to bubsnaturals.com. Use promo code MidlifeMail. Save yourself 20%. Just subscribe. That's what I do. Subscribe. I get it all every month right to my house, and I use it simply, consistently, every single day. Check it out. as you're talking about your journey and you're talking about as marketers, you know, and putting the people, you know, at the center, you know, what also resonates with me as you're talking is you're extremely likable. Like, I just like you.
Thank you.
Like, well, I think that's even how I came across, like, even your profile, you know, on Instagram, and then started looking into what you were doing. I was like, Chris is likable. There's something about this guy that's just likable, you know, that's unique. And then you talk about each one of your positions along your trajectory being recruited, you know, for those, and how the opportunities come to you. And I think that has a lot to do with not only how you perceive yourself, but again, how others perceive you and the way you live and you carry your life. Like, I see some similarities there, even in the manner in which, like, I'm attracted to certain people and certain stories and even certain brands, because I think, look, like, I put the founder and the person kind of at the center. Do I like that individual? You know, am I attracted to, like, to their character, to their vibe, to their hobby, to the things that they do? Oh, what do they make? Okay. Yeah. You know, what are the values, you know, that are there? Because we have choices, like whether it's the motorcycle we ride, whether it's the product we put on our skin. There's no shortage of choices, you know, that are out there. I think the food tastes better when you know, who the chef is, you know, and you made it. Now, I've got two boys, 19 and 16.
Okay.
And I'm just there too. Like, what advice you would give either the younger you, you know, or young men even that are out there? Because what are we trying to do as middle-aged men? Like, in my case, I'm trying to raise good young men, you know, too. And it's so different out there. And we talk about, like, how do you differentiate yourself? How do you put yourself out? How do you get yourself recruited? You know, I love your take on, like, on what some of those things look like. And maybe how you're looking even for people now with your new brand, and we'll get into that.
Yeah. So it's a great question. And, you know, we need the generations coming up to be strong, just really good men and women. We do. And so much of that is, you know, how we pay attention. Like, I love to mentor. You know, like, I've been so successful in my career. If it all ended tomorrow, it was a great run. So there's other things that I find that elevate my spirit, you know, almost like my higher calling. And part of that is mentoring. It's always been about giving back for me. And I would tell you the thing, you know, because when we look at, especially, I think, at some of the things that are happening across the country, the violence, you know, social media, you know, teen suicide, especially with young women, you know, we have, like, the thing that got me through was I always had a really great family unit, which I could lean into across the board, which was always nice. Had a great group of friends, my tribe, that were supportive and not destructive. And from a very young age, I would say in my early 20s, when I was developing my values for the first time and just being like, what's the man I want to be? The thing that had gotten me through everything was three values. A positive attitude, determination, and courage. And in fact, at home, I have an axe that has the word courage on it. And, you know, anything you want to do in life, you want to be successful in business, you want to get the girl, the guy, the this, that, you have to be positive. You have to go after it and show who you are, right? You have to, like, you have to do the work. And you have to have the attitude of the mindset. If you don't have it, it's just not going to happen. Same thing with determination. If you don't get up every single day and finish that book or get your homework done or, you know, schedule that job interview or get still that deal, it's never going to happen. It's only through determination can you get to the other side of it. Because if it was that easy, everybody would do it. And that's just not the case. And lastly, courage has seen me through every aspect of my life. When I was that gawky kid who was just like, God, I don't feel like I fit in. You know, like, what am I doing? Why am I here? And it was my courage inside that anytime, like, as a teen, I got bullied, that courage served me well and pulled me through all the way up until now in my 50s, launching my own brand for the first time. It's courage. So those three values for me you know, at a very young age has always been a really good platform. And, you know, I was always somebody too that, you know, I've always tried to be gracious, you know, like my parents, it was like, hold that door open for, you know, the person behind, you know, coming in. Yes. And yes. And please. Thank you. Like, I've just always tried to be a gracious person. And I've had a lot of good role models in my life that have shown others great kindness. So I spend 13,000 miles on my motorcycle raising money for AIDS and HIV and breast cancer, ovarian cancer, whatever I could do. Like, you know, it was also the good role models who showed me that you need to also step out of your life and you need to give back. You need to give back, because even if you've got a roof over your head and food in your fridge, you need to give back. And so all of that sort of drove me and the values of who I wanted to be. And I don't always get it right, but I try to, like, when I find I'm getting off the course, I steer myself back over again. And I felt like ever since I was young, I've just tried to be the better version of that. And that's been my guiding principle. Mm.
Is there a line, or is there a flip side to that? You know, these are the characteristics and these are the things that you do and your values and the way that you live and you believe. The other side of that, I'm gonna ask, what are some of your pet peeves? You know, some of the opposite, some of the turnoffs, some of maybe the non-negotiables of, hey, you don't get my time, you know, you don't get it, because these things, you know, affect, you know, one thing does affect the other.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. Yeah. So for me, that's been easy. Like, even when it comes to friendships and people that are close in my life, I have a list on my phone, because look, the reality of it is I need to sleep. I need 7.5 hours. It's a non-negotiable. Okay. So 7.5 hours over here, then it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's the gym. There's all the things that I have to do just to get through the day. So it doesn't leave a lot of time left over. So for me, I'm very much, for the people that are close, I really defined a list, because that list just helps me to make sure that I am connecting with them, even if it's a text. Hey, just thinking about you. Love you. Hope you're doing great. We'll talk for the weekend. All that kind of stuff. And then it also helps me to avoid what I refer to as the energy vampires. You know, the people that kind of swarm into your life, whether it's personally or professionally. I've got too much going on and I just don't have the time. I don't have the time for you to take my shine away, for you to say things like, oh, should you be doing this at your age? Like, I just avoid that. Not that I'm trying to live my head in the sand, but I know that I have to organize myself in a way that creates a support structure for all the things that I'm doing, especially this latest move, because it is not only exhilarating, it's terrifying being an entrepreneur at any level, even for someone like me who built guilds, you know? And so, you know, those are the things that I really try to avoid. And I guard my serenity with my life. Like, that is super important to me. And I am not going to let anybody take that down in any way. Mm.
Let's talk about the latest venture, of course, because we've teased it a little bit. You know, you know what we're going to be talking about on this too. Entrepreneurship in your 50s, you know, yeah. Super successful career by all societal metrics of success. Mm-hmm. Top of the game. And you decide, I'm going to go out on my own and start my own skincare brand. Yeah. Plenty out there, you know, yep. Ultra competitive field, you know, not that you don't know, you know, beauty super well, well as anybody. Right? Yep. Walk me through your thought process, you know, on why you're doing this, your decision to actually to go out and do this in your 50s. And what it means to launch a brand like Atwater. And I also want to know where the name came from. We got a whole place to go, starting at the top. You decide to be an entrepreneur in your 50s and launch your own brand.
So I have never been somebody, like, even when I was president of Kiehl's, I knew I couldn't be president of Kiehl's forever. And so I never, in all that time that I was there, and for as much as I loved it and loved L'Oreal, it never defined who I was. It was always clear to me that this was a job that I loved, but it didn't define me. It didn't define Chris. And that separation was key, because I find when I see a lot of contemporaries and individuals who think that this is what they are and all that they are, it's going to be a hard crash, because no matter what, it's going to end. It's going to end. And then I also started to think to myself, I've looked at my life. You know, you have to look at your life. At least I look at my life in time and say, you know, there are just certain things that I want to get to that I'm going to run out of time if I don't get to it. And I didn't want to have, as I was saying earlier, I didn't want to have any dreams on the table. I didn't want to look back, because that is the biggest regret at the end of people's lives, is the things that they didn't do. And I just didn't want that to be my story. And so I made the very difficult decision of leaving L'Oreal. That was not easy, leaving Kiehl. So going from this kind of like, you know, skincare rock star to like just Chris again. And I fully embraced it. It was terrifying. I felt like I was walking through peanut butter. I questioned myself constantly, but I organized myself, right? I had a life coach. I had a Chris Salgado board of directors of close friends and comrades that I could lean on. But then I just felt like I had an idea. I looked at the men's skincare arena. Yeah, there's a lot of brands out there, but I don't know that they're speaking to men in a way that I want to be spoken to. And so I felt like I had, first of all, the actual CV to back up. I wasn't somebody who was just going to throw his name on something. Like, I actually have done the work and had, I think, the chops to back it up. And the last thing, my whole life, Greg, I've tried to inspire others. I have been more successful than I ever thought I could be. And in that, I've always had this innate internal feeling like I have to get back. It drives me. Like, if I don't do it, I feel like something's off. And part of it was, as people were getting older, you know, it's always about breaking down stereotypes. Like, you know, like, you're in your 50s, like, you should be winding down and like picking up the golf, you know, swing and, you know, moving to, I don't know, like whatever the stereotypes that still permeate our society, because we are so bound by so many constructs of life. I wanted to also be inspiring for those who wanted to still dare and dream big and go for it. And so that was part of it. I wanted to do this for myself, but I wanted to show others that there's a pathway for you too. And it doesn't mean that you have to start your own company. You can just finally take that yoga class or ask that person out on a date you've been wanting to do. Like, you could, it's just, you can still do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that was a lot of what really drove me to do it. And so I left the company, and then in 2019, I started working on the formulas, and I went in like a laser beam. Man, if you want to get to know me, like, I mean, I am like, a storm couldn't move me. I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew exactly what formulas I wanted. I knew the packaging I wanted. I know what I wanted to do, everything. And I got to work, and I found three different laboratories that could really bring the vision to life. And you know, I also took a pivot. I took a job as CEO for Sofia Vergara to help her build a beauty brand. So, which was, again, just fascinating and learning while I was building, you know, Atwater, because I just love learning. Like, I can never learn enough. I want to be learning till the day I die. And then when that assignment ended, I just finished up with Atwater and launched it last year in August.
Amazing. Approaching entrepreneurship from a position of, or determining whether you can approach entrepreneurship, whether that's from a position of strength or position of weakness or uncertainty. And what I mean by this is, look, I hear from a lot of guys, obviously in middle age, and they have obligations and responsibilities and overhead, and they're in these jobs or careers. Yeah. You know them, look, we have benefits, you know, there's a 401k, I'm getting paid handsomely. You know, even in my case, look, I've got college and private school to pay for, and you know, both boys have licenses, which means cars, plus my wife, all of these things. And you go, oh, wait a minute. Do I leave my job to follow my passion? If I even know what my passion is, can I leave my job to follow my passion? Is this a responsible or irresponsible thing to do? You touched on it briefly before we even got started about even the financial, you know, structure. Mm-hmm. I'd love, you know, your insight into, okay, I'm going to go do this, but like, how do I get my, like, do I get my house in order or do I know where I am? Like, it's a different mindset again. Like, I'm going to leave the security, you know, of this rock star position and all that that provides.
Yeah. So it's a great question. And it's one that I love when people ask me, because even when I was planning to do this, and give it, and think about my whole career, like, right, like I've, you know, and when I was at L'Oreal, I was also president, not only of Shuomura and then Kiehl's for that stretch, but I also ran Giorgio Armani Beauty and the outlets. So I say that because it just shows the breadth of my experience. I know stuff. And in getting into this, like all I can, first of all, it's been one of the most exhilarating, incredible experiences of my life. Also the most terrifying. Even with all of that, even with all that experience and the connections I have and people that I can talk to. So the first thing I would say is that, you know, when you're getting into it, this is why I say, like, look, I could take this leap because structurally I felt like, and I was going to have to take some risks, but I felt like they were risks that I were willing to take. It's partially why I even went back and finished up my degree. It's like, well, if I ever have to get a JOB, like I'm a very, for as big as I dream, there's also a very practical side. I am that guy who will go out and flip burgers to put money for food, to put food on the table for a family. That's who I am. So at my core, that's how I'm driven. But I looked at this financially and made mistakes, by the way, like did not plan as well as I should, but that's a little bit of Salgado, like, right. The bar for me is always, it's you win or you win. And that makes life very difficult too, but it's a little bit about how I'm driven. And so when I started all of this, I planned it as well as I possibly could. And even leaving my old job, like when I was doing my previous position, working on the other beauty brand, it was really only months before I launched this one. So even financially, I tried to plan as carefully as I could. And you can imagine how I'm working at that point. But the entrepreneurial part for me has been, I'm so glad I'm getting to do it. It's scary every day. It's you really need to have a support system around you. You need to really be financially minded. And if you're not financially minded, you better get somebody who is, because it's all going to be about cash flow and managing the process. No matter how you're beginning, you have to start with one customer before you build up to millions of customers if you get there. And so financially, I felt like I could do this. I was in the right place. And then structurally, I set it up as, because I bootstrapped the whole thing myself.
Hey guys, Greg here, Midlife Mail. Let's talk about the Kineon Move Plus. The red light therapy has been a game changer for my mobility and recovery. This is an easy to use product. It is easy to charge. It is easy to take with me on trips. It is easy to keep right next to my bed. All you have to do is pop these little sensors into the strap, connect it around your knees, your shoulders, your elbows, push a button, and 5 minutes, 5 days a week, and you are good to go. Taking care of my body is a top priority, and the Move Plus has been an invaluable tool in helping me to move better, feel better, perform better, and achieve my health and wellness and overall life goals. So go over to Kineon, kineon.io/midlifemail. Use the promo code midlifemail. You're going to save yourself 10%. Check it out. You beat me to my next. I was going to ask you about did you take in investors? Did you do this on your own? What's your perspective on that? You know, I've done both. Look, I've raised capital before. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's been friends and people I've been close with. Sometimes those relationships, you know, didn't end the way they started, you know, when we made money or didn't make money. Other times, now I've been turning down, quite frankly, you know, investments. Some of the best money I ever spent in the last year was building decks to raise capital to then read the deck and realize I don't want to raise capital. Because every time I get questions back from people, I go, you know what? I don't know if I want to go down this road again. So back to financial structure, can I bootstrap this? Maybe it takes a little bit longer. Am I willing to invest in myself? You know, all of these things have pros and cons, you know, to them. is it a cop out, you know, and takes away some of the drive by using other people's money, but it extends like all of these things versus if you're flipping burgers, you know, and you're really hungry and gritty, you know, all of those things I think are in that bucket, you know, that are there. So you did it yourself.
I did. And it was part of, and that was a bit of my gamble, right? Like, remember, what I've seen in sitting with other entrepreneurs or attending seminars, you have either one of two camps. You either have somebody who's like, I have this ingredient. I think this is what it does. I want to make it into something. And then typically you have to pair them with somebody who's operational, who then like, okay, let's take that ingredient and the what you want to build, but let's build a financial plan around it. So my experience has been heavily weighted on the operational side. So I've managed P&Ls my whole life, every single line, you know, supply chain, marketing, sales, PR, all you name it, distribution, real estate, building stores. But I've also been somebody who's been very creative, you know, and I've been able, so when it came to building out Atwater, you know, I was able to save a tremendous amount of cost because I knew what formulas I wanted. Think about it. If you're somebody who, I want to start a brand, and what should I have, an eye cream? Should I have a throat cream? Should I have a moisturizer? Should it be anti-aging? I knew what I wanted. So right now you're saving money. And then formulations, I've either launched it or tried it or experienced. So I understood that. And I've seen every data point. Imagine the money you save there. And then it's like constructing like the packaging. Like I am a very creative, like a laser beam. I knew what I wanted down from the name, down to the look, down to the no cartons. Again, you're saving money. And then on the operational side, I could really build that out. I did all the PR for Kiehl's. I could do it for Atwater. You're saving money. But, you know, at the end of the day, one of my goals was that I wanted to own something 100%. Whether that was the right move or the wrong move, it doesn't matter. It was a goal of mine, and it's checked. So, and I constructed it as best as I possibly can. I will need to take in financing at some point to really grow it to the next level, but that's okay. Because largely what's been created, all the back end, all the operating systems, the ERP systems, the manufacturing, it's done. Like I did all that, you know, and we have a full site. We have two amazing retail partners. Oh my God, I'm so blessed, you know, and a third brand partnership with Ducati. I mean, it's like, you don't get any better than this. But I was able to swing it because I could do a lot of the heavy lifting. It was hard, Greg, hard. But, you know, I managed to because I had the experience and the ability to do both.
So the name.
Yes.
You said you knew you wanted it. You knew the name. You know, we're going to get into the other things there. Where'd the name come from?
So there are two things. So Atwater is my father's hometown in California. I'm from the town next to it. And so there's two things that I wanted. First of all, I felt like brands today, I am most drawn to brands that are personal and that have a story. Like that's what interests me. And so when I was thinking about the name, that one really sort of rose to the top. And it also, I've been very philanthropic. You know, I started giving money to AMFAR and to other organizations in 1993 when I could give $20. And then when I could do more, like on a Kiehl's, I started getting on my motorcycle and raising bigger money. And I've crisscrossed the country 13,000 miles. And I've seen every town, tiny town, either thriving or dying. And what was always fascinating to me and quite frankly, inspiring were the people. And I felt like there was just this proud, like I'm a proud American, right? Like are we perfect? No, but like just to see how this country was built and to see all those faces, Atwater for me could be any town and every town, USA. And it's really kind of interesting because last year, as I'm birthing Atwater and we launch it, and I had no idea that the day that we launched was the 100th anniversary of the town of Atwater. And then my father passed away on Thanksgiving. So it became this, you know, I'm not a spiritual person, but there was something about how Atwater came to life as he passed away that was just, you know, powerful for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, Atwater became much more than just a skincare brand. You know, it became something just felt bigger. So that's where the name comes from.
Appreciate you sharing that so much. And I'm sorry to hear about your father. You know, my father passed away when I was 17. So he was 47.
Wow. Oh boy.
I think the reasons behind what I'm doing with Midlife Male now is that every day since, you know, past 47 seems like bonus time, you know, to me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It seemed like, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. Let's get on the motorcycle and drive, you know, and ride, you know, cross country, because instead you never know what tomorrow brings. You can't take it. You know, my grandmother used to say coffins don't have pockets, you know, also, you know, you can't take it. You can't take it with you, all of these things. So I think, you know, also that you're so spot on in kind of the personal connection, you know, there, and that, you know, to transcend a product line, it has to mean something again. You know, these conversations, the stories, you know, that are there that transcend it and attract. And say, okay, this is what I want to use. This is what I want to feel. This is who I want to be around. This is who I want to support. I think it's so deeply, deeply impactful. You've mentioned motorcycles now a few times. When did your passion for motorcycles begin?
Oh my God. You have to know, my dad's been on. So he was a CHP officer. So we've been on motorcycles, my mother, my father, myself, for our whole lives. So I remember, like, when I was six, my mom used to take, you know, all the kids in the neighborhood on scooter rides and just all over the neighborhood. So we've always been on bikes. And so I've been probably a serious rider since I was 12, and I've just loved it. And then as it, you know, it's a very visceral experience, you know, being on a bike. And I've gone down a mountain, almost lost my life. So I've also, because there are two types of riders, the ones who have fallen and the ones who will fall. And, you know, mine was during a charity ride, and, you know, boy, that was something I'll never forget. And boy, did I realize what a tough motherfucker I am, because that, you know, the next day I got back on that bike and I finished that ride. And, but it really spooked me for about a year, but I love bikes. And so when it came to Atwater, you know, because Atwater is also, it's such a spirit of adventure. You know, there's something about the brand that just feels invigorating and very lifestyle. I mean, even down to the names I came up with, like Skin Armor and Eye Armor and Smooth Target is my shave cream. And that's because I've been an archer for 35 years. So, you know, I'm not going to win the Hunger Games, but I love archery and it's fun. But, you know, doing the motorcycle was, you know, it came down to even my first collaboration with Ducati. And I've always loved motorcycles, and I've been wanting to work with Ducati forever. They were a dream of mine. And so I just thought, now is the time to bring motorcycles into the brand. And so we have lots of plans for the future, but they've become my very first brand partner, which is amazing considering who am I? I'm just a small brand that kind of came out of nowhere, a small men's brand. And you've already got the firepower of a Ducati working with you, but we are very like-minded, and, you know, we feel like the aesthetic of the brand, and, you know, I think men are always sort of interested and exciting by things like, you know, whatever your level of sporting it, it's for, like, it's everything in Atwater is garage inspired. My father spent all his time in his garage, and now I've built a 3-car garage. You can't get me out of there.
And more bikes than cars, or more cars than bikes?
I've got like a Jeep and a fancy, I got a Ferrari. I've got a Raptor. I've got 3 bikes. I've got about 15 skateboards, 1 snowboard, 1 archery set, 1 scooter, 1 motocross bike, I could go on. It's crazy.
So there are some toys. Okay, we'll talk. I'll get the address later. Okay. So
I have two adult size Big Wheels too, by the way.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. Very, very cool. On the Atwater line, as you're talking about, you know, naming each product, you're holding up, you guys can't see it at home, but he's holding up the bar soap, he's holding up the moisturizer in there, we're talking about, and I've got these at home. Thank you for sending me some of they're awesome. But what I want to also ask about is, you know, where do guys start, you know, with this? You know, here I'm a 50-year-old, I'm a 50-year-old guy. Skin has always been an issue for me too. I really appreciate you kind of being transparent about, you know, your own personal struggles with acne and when growing up. Skin has always been something I've been very, very insecure about for me. I did have acne. Did I have severe acne? You know, no. But even like when our older son first started, you know, breaking out, you know, I was immediately like, we have to go and get him on this and get him on that. I mean, because I just remember what it did to my confidence. I remember like all throughout, there were days and nights and things. I just did not want to go out or want to do things because, you know, I had a breakout or I had a pimple and it didn't matter what clothes I could put on or what even my hair looked like at the time or anything. Nothing could change the fact that it's your face out there. And I still struggle, you know, with insecurities around skin. If you ask, like, I don't mind being bald at all. I do mind very much so. There are a lot of things I can deal with, but I always look at people's skin, in particular men's skin, because it was always something I struggled with gaining control over or feeling like, you know, I was doing the right things and the breakout of the sun. It always happened at the wrong time, of course. So I'd love to know, you're like, where do we start with this? Because I'm still experiencing it in middle age.
So this is a great question and super important. And let's just cut the bullshit. So the thing that I find with men and why I did this is that I got so sick and tired of all the stereotypes that we were getting served up for men. Everything had so much fragrance in it and alcohol in it. And even the names of products were just dumbing us down as if we were just Neanderthals. And all we could do was like smell like a pine forest or be whatever, you know, some beast from the woods. Like, I just felt like enough of this, like enough. You know, like we need to be treated seriously in this arena. And there's just some facts around skincare that I feel like I wanted to distill and just be very clear for men and also provide guidance. Like, you know, where are the guys to help us guide us through this experience? Because the experience between women and daughters versus fathers and sons is very different. The transference of knowledge between a mother and daughter, seamless. Fathers and sons, we just don't do it. My father handed me an electric razor. That was the end of my skincare tutorial for my dad. And that is quite commonplace. So where men have to start is when I was building Atwater, I took a long look and just said, what works? Because, you know, I don't even do anything for anti-aging because, dude, you're going to age. So all we can do is look the best we can at the point that we are in life. Now, if you want to have your wrinkles taken away or you want to get your neck firmed up, absolutely, there's ways to do it. Here's my dermatologist and she will take care of you. But if you think some cream is going to just miraculously do any of that, whether you're male or female, you know, it's just not going to happen. Like not across the counter. So what I always say to men is here's what to look out for. There is a movement. This won't be familiar for men as much as it is for women. We hear a lot about clean products. What are clean products? It's a marketing term. But what it does is when you're formulating products, there's a list of ingredients that have been identified as probably not the best for you. Now, are any of these things going to kill you? Probably not. But in 2023, should you be using a moisturizer with fragrance in it or alcohol or parabens? No. Like, just steer clear of it. So like the first thing I did with my moisturizers is I took all that out. They're cleanly formulated because my bet is that men might not care about it today, but they're going to care about it tomorrow. And I want us all to get away from doing the taking our hand up and smelling it. That's not what determines a good product. What determines a good product is your skin progressively looking better. That is the hallmark of a good product. So like, in, even with Atwater, I made sure that we did on our site that we had a diagnostic. If you don't know anything about your skin, take the skin diagnostic, and that will help guide you through the steps. Now, and I'll tell you, everybody has these skin quizzes and skin diagnostics. They're not all the same, because I've taken them all and they're interesting. I feel like at the end of it, I'm supposed to buy 25 products, and I'm not doing that. And so, you know, for guys, so if you don't know your skin type, take a skin diagnostic. You can take it with us, or care, you know, you also have to start to care a little bit. The other thing I want to break down is the stereotypes that still in 2023 exist. We as men struggle still with the idea of like wanting to look good. When someone says to me, I don't know what my skin type is, I'm like, okay, do you not tie your shoe? Can you balance your checkbook? Can you boil water? So if you're looking at your skin and it's dry and itchy all day, let's think about this for a second. You're dry. If you're shiny and you get progressively shinier all day, you're oily. So we have to stop with the like, I don't know, because you do know. And it's okay to know. And then from there, let's get you, you just need your basics. I use a cleansing bar on my face because it is, you know, first of all, it's the most the form of a cleanser that men most appreciate. So I made kick-ass cleansers, one for normal to oily, one for normal to dry. Eye cream, you want to look like Salgado later on in life. And you know, you use an eye cream, you use it morning and night. And I have been, this is another thing for your sons, I've been using eye cream since in my 20s. And
I'm late to that game, and it shows, dude.
Right? I mean, it's just like I would say, think of your dashboard. If you didn't, you know, if you didn't take care of your dashboard, it would dry, fade, and crack over time. Think of your moisturizers the same way. That's what they're doing. And then you use a good moisturizer. And so there's really, like, to me, that there's just three basic steps, but all products are not the same. So we cleanly formulated ours, because we felt like that was the pathway forward and was very modern. And then I spent 2 years, Greg, tweaking the textures. Because here's the thing about men. We don't want to feel it on our faces. We don't. Even the driest of skins. So I spent a lot of time working out on textures of the skin. So, you know, that is where I think is our superpower. And we're about to win a pretty big award this month for best new moisturizer. So for a 5-month-old company, pretty huge.
That is awesome. You know, it's obviously you're talking about texture for a reason, because you just hit on something. But I will tell you, in just full transparency and honesty, it was the first thing that I noticed in opening all three of the moisturizers that you sent me. For various skin types, I fall into the oily category of shiny and every and constantly in there too. It was the texture. Yeah. It was the different in the way that it came out, the way that I rubbed on every. It was the texture that was very, very different from anything I had ever used before.
So I got to tell you, Greg, that's music to my ears, because that is the difference. And what I say, and it's growing, you know, in our first 4 months, we already have online only, and we're sold at Nordstrom's and Saks, but we have 1,000 clients already online. And what I love about the feedback, and everyone says the same thing about the texture, and that to me is like mission accomplished, because little things that you might not notice, but like dry down, like how fast is a product dry down? If you use it at night, how does your skin look in the morning? Like, you know, and for all those different types of skin, like I've got the same skin type that you do. So I'm an oil regulator guy. I need that moisturizer to feel like a effing drink of water on my face. Like I want it light, or I'm not going to do it. And like, I'm a neck guy. Like I put the rest of it through my beard. I'm not about, you know, 10 steps to looking good. Like I'm about multi-purpose products. But the textures is where you win. It's even like with the scrub I did. Everybody, and this is what I love about men. Like, and even women do the same thing. They use a product, they think, oh God, I look great. So the next thing is let's do it more often and let's do it more. I made sure that scrub was lightweight for a reason, because everybody over scrubs. It's like a little is great. I'm going to use it more often. And that's where you get little kind of microscopic tears that become more and more pronounced as you get older. So everything had like down, like has a real purpose around. The eye cream is super dense because you have no oil glands around your eyes. So that needs to give you that protection, that eye armor. And even like the shave cream was excellent, but I leaned into a rose that is known for calming and soothing because you're taking a hot blade over your face. Like we need calming and soothing ingredients to get the best shave. It's not protection.
It's also one of the reasons I basically kind of stopped shaving and didn't want to do it for a while. Like that was because again, it was such an irritant to my skin and I never knew how to do it properly. Again, you go back, I still resonate the story you're telling, like my dad didn't teach me anything.
Yeah.
Any of this stuff. And then by the time I was ages where it might've even mattered again, he was gone. You know, I'm a slow learner and a late bloomer. And now you've made me think about the fact that I think history is repeating itself and I haven't done the same with my boys either. here you go. Okay, Greg, you can do better. Once again, lesson learned, you can do better. Like, here we go. And these things, you know, matter, but I'm also wired for simplicity. The way that I'm wired for simplicity, the fewest steps possible. Okay. Give me the bullet points. Tell me what works, you know, and why, like in there. So I love the ease and simplicity of a three-step process. I love that it's use this and here's what I formulated and here's how it goes. I totally identify with the, if something's good for you, let's keep overdoing it, you know, in there. And I think I'm trying to get better later on, whether that's, listen, if 10 reps will do it, don't do 20, you know, let your muscles recover. Okay. You know, in there. You know, if they tell you to scrub, you know, once a day for 30 seconds, don't, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes is not going to be better to go break, you know, wear it all down. I think we get so much time back. You know, we get some better results in all aspects of our lives when we, again, just follow the plan of what works. You know, again, cut through the BS. Tell me what works. Okay. Let me do the minimum effective dose, you know, for the maximum possible, you know, result instead of constantly kind of like the hustle, the grind, the beat down, do more, do more, do more. And we end up not getting what we want. Hey guys, Greg here. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Hone Health. I simply wanted to have my energy, acuity, focus, smile, and health back to where it was and where I expected to be. So I turned to Hone Health, and at 49, I made the decision to go on TRT, and Hone has guided me and provided me with everything I have needed along the way. And because of this, I'm now proud to partner with Hone Health. I believe in the team, the service, the product, and the mission. I believe in what Hone is doing every day, what they've done for me, and what they can do for other midlife males to help them live better, stronger, healthier, and happier lives. So if you're interested in learning more about Hone Health, go to honehealth.com/midlifemale. And you can order your at-home test and consultation and save $15. Check it out.
I will tell you two things on that I think have been so important is one. So I did these three types of focus groups when I was developing Atwaters and one was a non-user. So my neighbor lives directly across the street from me. He's early 30s. He's married. He's got two kids, a new baby. He coaches soccer, runs his own business. He has been in love with Atwater because it is his one moment for him that he is really embraced, not even knowing about it or being queued up, that this is his moment for self-care. So whether it's that great shower with the bar or the moisturizer and how it feels on his face, even if it just takes 30 seconds, it's something for him. And then the other thing about simplicity, and I have this conversation all the time, especially when I consult on brands that are real, these high price brands, I'm like, you're not going to break through. Like, I think the world is going simpler. And if you want to have great skin, this is going to be the start of it, but this is just part of the story. How much do you sleep? What are you eating? Do you party? Are you a smoker? Are you drinking enough water? Like, do you stay on the sun too much? Like, it's not just one cream that's going to miraculously fix everything. but it's a part of the story. So I felt like with Atwater, you know, because 70% of men buy skincare because they want to improve their careers. So it's very much about like looking good, but you know, where do you go? Like we still fumble the ball. And the stores don't help us either, because you go into a store and it's like, where's men's? And it's in the back and it's three shelves and we're supposed to like, you know, be impressed by that. So I think it's got to systematically change, but the simplicity that you talked about, like for myself, who've seen it all, tried it all, launched it all, you know, ran businesses in Asia where people are using 15 steps. It's like, I just don't think it's a pathway forward. And I think with men, let's give them simplicity. Let's give them effective products. Let's keep them clean. Let's get the fragrance out of your moisturizers and your eye cream. Like, come on, dudes, enough. Like it's 2023. And, you know, I think it's a great place to start. And then we'll add other things that are of interest and that will serve him well as we progress and as we grow.
So, so good. You know, I loved what you touched on there about your neighbor.
Yeah.
That it's, the self-care is a moment for him.
Yeah.
You know, I also feel like we're overwhelmed now with morning routines and evening routines. And as you said, all of these, you know, things that 15-step skincare, or I've got to, you know, eat the perfect way and take the right supplements and get in the hot and then get in the cold and then do the, it's all the, you know, and what does again, self-care really look like?
Yeah.
It can look like anything you want it to look like. And if it's that moment where it's skincare for you, or that moment, you know, and again, back to simplicity, whatever that moment for you is, you should take it. You know, I say that, you know, self-care isn't selfish. Yeah. It's one of the most selfless things, in fact, that I think you can do is to take that moment for you, that self-care, so that you can show up better everywhere else. You know, I don't want to feel by 8 o'clock in the morning that I am already behind the eight ball and behind the day. And if I haven't checked the box on 27 different things, then I haven't won the day, you know, because I haven't won my morning, you know, and then I can't go to bed until I unwind with 16 different steps, you know, there also. So I love where you're going with that. And I love the notion that, you know, you're part of the story.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big story out there for all of us men in all areas of our lives. You know, what part of the story is Atwater playing? You know? Yeah. And how can you be of service and be of value? I think it's such super stuff. And I love this. I'd like to kind of finish up on one thing that you casually put it out there. But I think it's so important. You said 1,000 clients.
Yeah.
You said 2 retail partners in Nordstrom and Saks.
Yeah.
1 brand partner in Ducati. And I don't know if you can hear them. I say this every episode because I'm upstairs in my house. My dogs are going bonkers right now. Okay. Which means again, Amazon is here with something for the day. And we're going to find out what it is in a second. But I don't want to gloss over this, because as an entrepreneur and in this world where everybody thinks everything again just happens overnight and it's so big and everything, you went 1,000 clients, 2 retail partners, 1 brand partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is how a brand gets built. This is how business gets done.
Yeah.
One customer at a time, yeah. One relationship at a time. Can you speak to that a little bit in terms of like, hey, how we are going to be building Atwater? Like, you just approach it from such a position of confidence. And I don't think people see that often. They think like, I have to tell you, you know, how much is happening today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have always believed, and I think it's, you know, I think I'm always been a shopkeeper. You know, I feel like this isn't my first time really being a founder. I feel like in some ways in my previous position, I was a founder too, because how I managed that business and how much I cared for it. So in this, I really come at it at a genuine place of like, I think we can do better. And I think that I can be a person who can provide that service and that voice. And you don't even have to just love Atwater. If you have a question on something and we can't find it for you, not everyone's going to love it. Well, let's try and help you find it. So I think I always come at it from a very humble perspective. And I know who our number one customer, our first customer was. I mean, I know who he is. And I've reached out to him and I've talked to him. And, you know, we're going to always be celebrating this guy as we celebrate all our clients. But to me, there is, you know, that is the lesson that everyone's got to learn, because I think we cherry pick and we look at, well, look, you know, Kim Kardashian launched and, but like, and we think like, oh, that's the norm and that's the bar, and it's not. And so when I looked at the business, and this is also from a strategic perspective, you know, like even being online, like that has changed. Like, you know, the cost of doing business online has ratcheted up so much, and that it's making it almost sometimes cost prohibitive to grow that brand. And so people are looking at stores, and then you've got the rise of omnichannel again. So for me, it was also about positioning. You know, Atwater is really perfectly priced for the market that we serve. It starts at $12 and it ends at $35. It's such fair pricing. We're not a promotional brand. We have incentives for our clients from time to time, but we don't get into that whole mishigas. It's not something that we want to be a part of. We feel like, you know, we're offering a great product at a great value. And then, you know, being selective about our partners. You know, like for me, I've always, there's so many great retailers out there, but, you know, in speaking with Nordstrom's, we were able to come up and collaborate, and they were my original launch partner. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we launched with Saks Fifth Avenue, who I've always had tremendous respect for, and think that they have done such a great job in showing us brands that are exceptional, that are first movers. And so we've just entered that partnership. And this just allows us to reach people that we just couldn't typically reach. Is it small today? Sure it is, but it's growing. You've got to start someplace. And so temper your expectations with where your brand's evolution is. That's not always hard for me, because Salgado is like, you know, I expect to be, you know, have a million clients, but I am so appreciative and grateful, 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 grateful for the people that we do have that have come on this journey with us and have entrusted us with their skincare needs. And then bringing on something like Ducati, you know, as a brand, that's a dream. Like that was a dream of mine. Like I've always wanted to do something, could never get it something done. And, you know, to have them work with us, actually work with us on a product innovation, not just like an endorsement, but actually a product innovation with their logo on, with our logo on there. And then also so I don't know if I told you, but the $10,000 of the proceeds of this bar goes to RX Art to put, it's a great organization out of New York that promotes healing for children through art that only they would see. You know, they go into these very scary experiences in hospitals. They're frightened to death. And so we're just trying to transform the environment a little bit for them, so that it helps them with the healing process. So, you know, it's not only a bar that feels good, it does good. So that's, you know, it's what I feel like is it's our foundation for how we're bringing Atwater to life. And we'll see if it works.
Amazing. I know it will. Salgado, this has been awesome. I truly, truly enjoyed this, man. You know, you never know exactly what you're going to get when you reach out and you connect with people. But man, like, I'm thrilled for you. You know, I'm really thrilled for you. I think you're doing great stuff. I said, you're just an incredibly likable guy. And I think, you know, you make it easy to support. I love what you're doing. The products are great. The messaging behind the brand and the story, you know, only elevates the value of the product line and what you're doing. So I have no doubt that the million clients are coming, and I just love, you know, where you're starting and how you're going about building it. So thank you for being here. In any way that I can be supportive and the midwife male community can be supportive, absolutely. Where can people find you and Atwater? Let's wrap up with that.
Mm-hmm. There's many ways so I am at, so my brand is at atwaterskin.com. So you can go on there, and that's going to give you all the information you can possibly need. I am at, if you want to, we're also on Atwater Skincare on Instagram, which will give you a lot of information and what we're up to. Then me personally, I'm on Instagram at Chris Salgado. And I also do private consultations on Intro. So there's four different ways for people to reach out to me and for us to be of service. So, but if you really want to get your skincare game on, guys, There's no better time than now. Let us help you with that journey. And if we can't get you what you need, we'll point you in the direction of something else. But it matters. Go for it. Break down those silos.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So guys, I am going to put all that information. It'll be in the show notes. It'll be in the transcriptions in the podcast. You're going to be able to do it. Make sure you give Chris a follow out there, because it's a lot of fun to follow what he puts out on social media. Check out all the products, get on it. That's very cool that you're on Intro, so you actually can do a one-on-one consultation with Chris. You guys know that I'm a big, big supporter of finding experts in their respective fields to help you in any part of your story. We need this. We can't do it all alone in any of these areas. So go out and get after that. You will never regret investing in yourself. All right, guys, if you like what you hear on the podcast, I know you do. Thank you. Please give us the 5-star rating. Leave us the positive review. Keep the Midlife Mail movement growing. Midlifemail.com. You subscribe to the newsletter. It's going to get dropped in your inbox every Sunday. You're going to hear a little bit more about Atwater Skincare in there as well coming up. So thank you very much. And until next week, I am out of here.
If you're interested in coaching and taking this conversation deeper so that you can achieve your personal and professional goals, be sure to head over to midlifemail.com and check out the Work With Me page to explore options.